Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. It's Dualta Doherty here, and I am bringing you another awesome episode, this time from Australia. I've interviewed Martin O'Donnell of Sustainability on his journey of moving across, working in recruitment, setting up a recruitment business, having an event, and why he still loves it. So I hope you guys enjoy it. As ever, this podcast is sponsored by Luxo and by Sourcewell. Two awesome, awesome, awesome pieces of kit that we use in our business every day. If anybody is interested in joining our private community, Recwired, drop me a line on LinkedIn and I will put you through the qualification procedures. It is still free. It is for recruitment founders only, and we would love to have you. All right, have a great day.
Hi, Dan Alexander here, and this episode is brought to you by Recwired, the all-in-one go-to platform for serious recruitment professionals, owners, and founders who are looking to grow their businesses. Now, we'll actually be launching the new online platform very soon, and if you'd like to be one of the first people to get access to our state-of-the-art learning platform and vault of online resources, then get in touch with us through the link in the description of this episode.
All right, welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. I'm joined today by Martin O'Donnell, and he is the founder of Sustainability. And Martin, tell me, how did you get the most Donegal name ever? Is there some lineage here? What's happening?
I do. Yeah, classic story, Irish family moved across to Liverpool. Yeah. So my parents were born and raised, and then moved from there, as they do, and then ended up in Australia 24 years ago.
Wow. So, like, if I was to walk into a bar in my hometown of Buncrana, high chances there's a Martin O'Donnell at the bar. It's like...
High chance.
It's in terms of first and second names, it's in the top 10, like... So what part of Donegal were they from?
Oh,
I don't know.
I don't know. I went over with my father to Ireland a few years ago. We went out to sort of Westport, out on the West Coast. Yeah. Had a little bit of a tour around there, but yeah.
What age did you move to Australia?
I was 26.
26, yeah.
But always born and raised in the UK.
And 26, talk to me, how did that move come about?
Yeah, so I was recruiting in London, fell into recruitment like everybody does, had a couple of years working for a group called Badenoch & Clark, accounting contract recruitment. And back in 99, and there was a few of the guys from the office had made the trip and said it was great. So, you know, it was easy enough to get a visa and living away from home allowance, and got a job with a company called HJB doing accounting temp recruitment. So they were looking to grow. They were looking for bums on the seats, and I was a bum, so they gave me a seat. But it was really interesting. They were a search firm, really predominantly within financial services, but they wanted to build out their temp desk. They were looking to list, hence the expansion plans, and so I came in to help them build out their contractor book.
And by the way, the living away from home allowance, or LAFA, as we used to call it, I got the last year or two of that when I was in Perth. I couldn't believe it. Somebody was giving me extra money to live in the sunshine. And it was like a nice considerable monthly chunk. I can't remember if it was an extra $1,000 or what it was, but it was.
Yeah, it was tied to your rent. Yeah, it was a huge amount of money, tax-free. So it was a nice perk.
Fantastic. So have you been in, did you stay in Sydney the whole time that you're in Australia, or?
Yeah, always been with Sydney. I stayed with HJB for about 4 years, ended up running all of their accounting divisions, commerce, FS, prop services, and gov. And then went traveling for a year with my now wife, and then came back and came back to Sydney, moved to Bondi, the old cliche, and then joined Charterhouse Partnership, was with them for 4 or 5 years before setting up Sustain.
And so just give me a snapshot of where Sustain is at today.
Yep. So we're a team of about 40 people. We've got two brands in the market, which is, well, Sustain Recruit, but that's divided up into Sustain Digital and Sustainability. And within Sustainability, we've got Sustain Finance and Sustain Tech. So we're a tech, accounting, and digital recruiter.
Okay, great. Where do most of your people lean? Is it on the tech side?
Yeah. Look, although finance is my baby, and that's what I grew up recruiting. Absolutely, the between tech and digital, that's 30 plus of the staff sit within that remit.
Good. You've developed a pretty good employer brand, and people seem to want to work for you. So in our process, we've worked with you a little bit. In our process, we'll present 7-8 of your competitors. Mm. And usually you come up in the top three, whether that's from the material that you have or the people that you have or how you present it. How did you guys get so good at impressing people to join? It's not an accident.
No, I think... Look, we're very mindful that hiring recruiters is a competitive industry. Mm. So we knew that with any of the collateral, that the assets, we really needed to be on point there. But I think it came from the culture of the business. So when we set the business up, and ever since, we've kept in mind that we wanted to build a business that I'd want to work in. So going back to, my first ever move to Australia, we're very mindful that a lot of the guys that join us do come in from overseas, COVID aside. We really wanted to have a business where everybody got paid really well, that the commission was commensurate with their billings, that there was really good training and development, that there was good management, and that there was a really good team. Because, when I came many moons ago, that's what I was looking for. I wanted to come in, have a good time, and some good money. I knew that I needed some development as a recruiter, so the training is really, really important. And then it sort of built out from there. And we've got the great incentive programs that we run with the guys. It's very much a team-based model. So end of quarter is based on the company hitting a number, not individuals. We're not a great fan of the big biller lunches. I think if a team performs, then the team should enjoy. So we go to places like Queenstown, and we go to Port Douglas and Hamilton Island, and it's very, very experiential in the sort of things that we're doing. And then all of the other bits and pieces around training, development, and the social life that we have for the team.
Just back to a question there. Just on, you mentioned that a lot of people come from overseas to get into recruitment. Now, having been there and having recruited, I know the answer to that. But a lot of people who might not know a lot about the Australian market, why do a lot of your recruiters come from the UK? Do people not want to do recruitment in Australia? What's the story?
I think that was certainly the case. I think in the last few years, whilst the borders have been shut, we've worked really hard on developing recruiters. And I think recruitment's perhaps more prevalent than it once was over here as a career. I think that the UK just has an industry that's much bigger. Mm. And Australia is obviously a great place to come and live and work. So by default, lots of the guys from the UK and overseas land in Australia looking for a job, and they've obviously got good training. In certain areas, there's a little bit more sophistication in the UK market, or certainly there used to be. I think we're definitely closing the gap in that regard now. And you get good quality, well-trained consultants arriving. So with the blend of bringing in the Aussies and training them up and developing them through, it's a good good culture.
Is it viewed differently from Australians? Is it not seen as a graduate career as such? Is that why they don't go into it, or?
Yeah, I still think that, and I don't know if it's the same in the UK. I mean, I think most recruiters fall into it one way or another. And it perhaps doesn't, as an industry, promote itself as well as it should do to grads or to career pathways. But I think we've certainly seen an uptick in that in the last few years. But there's still, I think the fact that it's such an attractive place to come and live means that we get plenty of applicants coming in from overseas.
Yeah, look, I remember picking beans on a farm in Queensland, and before I knew it, somebody was giving me $80,000 to go into recruitment, and my wife the same. And this is 12 years ago, and maybe it wasn't 80, I can't remember, but it was something like that. And I remember thinking,
Well.
this is crazy. And I go into a room, and it's all the management team are predominantly Australian, but everybody else is from England and Ireland. And it was just a fascinating, fascinating experience. So tell me, you built up this company, you recently got acquired. What was that? How does that feel to you? This baby that you've created over all these years. Can you walk us through how does somebody end up selling a recruitment business? Did you go out to like a broker? Did somebody approach you? Was it a non-executive? Was it like how does it work?
Yeah, we were approached. So we certainly never built business to sell. I think a view had always been, we'll build a great business, and if somebody came along at the right time and approached us, then that would be great. I think when you get to a certain size in Australia, you do get taps on the shoulder. And fortunately, as you say, we've built a good brand, which has been fantastic. And we've been approached a few times, but really, the opportunities hadn't been right. The fit wasn't right. The culture wasn't right. The size or whatever, the opportunities weren't right. But when we got approached at the beginning of last year, it felt much more aligned. And so yeah, we were approached through a broker, and sort of a mutual acquaintance, and ran through the process through last year, which was good. It was comfortably the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I want to get into that. I want to find out about that stress.
Absolutely, like
So,
terrifying, but good.
who values it?
Well, we had, as I say, we worked with a broker, and he worked with TXM, and they came up with a number that was, in line with our expectations.
And how did you come with like how did you work out what multiple it was worth to be in your expectations? Was that like
Yeah.
from one of your advisors? Was it from like getting due diligence done? Like what like you didn't pluck it from the sky, like.
No, that's right. I think we've again been aware of what the market's been doing and what multiples were looking like. We had a conversation with the directors around, what would it need to look like to be the right sort of deal. And that's not just the money, but all of the other bits and pieces. And fortunately enough, when the conversations were occurring, that was all in line.
And from a like I think you've developed quite a lot of brand equity in the Sustain brand. Will you continue on being Sustain rather than turning into TXM, or how does that look?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. As you said, the equity of the brands, they've bought a business that they value, that they see that not only is the brand there, we've got a great team, we've got great clients, we've got a position within the market with hiring recruiters, and they don't want to mess about with that at all. It's a really good alliance between us and TXM, and in many ways there's things that they want to learn from us about how we've done that to help scale this business and potentially other businesses that they've got, which is also part of the approach.
What excites you about the future of your own journey within this?
Me personally, or I think personally, I think there's some really good opportunities that opens up. I mean, they had a presence in Australia, so that there's a national presence there. There could be a bigger role for me within from a national perspective. I've actually got the owner in town this week, so I'll know more after a couple of meetings this week. But I think that there's some really interesting things that we can get involved in there. I think having the power of a bigger brand behind us offers some comfort. Personally, you know, I've been doing the same role for 15 years, so it's evolved over that time, but it's good to have a new challenge and look at some new things. I know you guys are big into, you know, how recruitment evolves over the next few years is going to be fascinating. And so some of those projects around AI and better technology around the recruitment industry, I think it's going to be something that I'd like to get involved in and help drive efficiency within the business that we've been running. So learning a whole bunch of new tips how to make the business better.
What were your key lessons learned from selling the business? Is there anything, now that you've sold it and you're still in it, you're still involved, if you could go back earlier in the journey, what would you tweak to maybe get a bit more juice out of that sale? Or because I bet you learned loads.
We did. I think definitely, and we were really fortunate. I think having really good advisors is super important. So having a good broker is really key. Having good lawyers are really important. I think almost having your own personal financial structure set up properly to begin with, so that when you go through, not necessarily that you're juicing the deal, but making sure that as much of it can flow through as effectively as possible is really, really, really key. But I think generally we were very fortunate with the deal that it was pretty friendly. And although it took a long time because there was various amounts of complexity in dealing with the UK, obviously things take a bit of time back and forwards with time zones, etc. Generally, it was pretty good. So I think, what have I learned? I've learned a lot about myself, I think, rather than the deal. I think I'm normally quite a calm person, and I think I was on point for a lot of the transactions. So it was quite stressful taking responsibility for those decisions, looking at each of the clauses. I think if you learn anything, perhaps don't sweat too much on every single clause. And as long as you're working with the right businesses, you know, lawyers make a lot of money from ensuring that everything's I's and T's and dotted across. So I think maybe going back, maybe not being so focused on some of those things. And but again, that each process is completely different. You just got to have that trust that the people that are working with you are going to be a long-term partner.
Congratulations on it. I mean, people who've given their whole, like, you've been in the industry for 25 years. You've earned it. Well done. Like, it's not easy to survive at the start. It's not easy to climb through the ranks. It's not easy to set up a business. It's not easy to deal with all the different crises that come with it. And then you have to get through all the stuff of a sale. So I like hearing the success stories. But let's put it into the perspective of a recruiter again. So if I'm in the UK and I'm thinking of coming to Australia, what should I expect? Like, is it easy? Like, is it like, am I going to go there and make loads of money and it's all going to fall into my lap? Is there anything I should be careful of? Is there anything that I'm going to need to adjust in the way that my working style? Like, give me an insight.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I don't think recruitment is easy wherever you are. And I think in a way, it's constantly evolving. And we talked a bit about it a minute ago. I think, you know, the evolution of technology is a double-edged sword with recruiters. You know, I'm still pretty old school. I still like going out and meeting with clients. I still like going for coffees. I still like having lunches and dealing with people face-to-face. So I think Australia is definitely that style of recruitment over here. It's probably getting harder to have those initial meetings. I think people have perhaps a little less inclined to have those face-to-faces initially. So having that cut through, having that ability to reach out and connect and contact people is a bit tougher.
Yeah.
So coming to Australia, it's on the face of it, it's, you know, sunshine and beaches and you know, work-life balance and all that sort of stuff. It's, at the end of the day, it's still recruitment. So if you're going to come and you want to make a career for yourself, it's a fantastic place to do it. It's, there's a good market. Unemployment's still really low in Australia, 3.7%, I think, percent. In New South Wales, it's even lower again, so 3.1%. So there's a lot of demand here. I think you need to make sure that you join the right business that's got the right clients, and the right contacts, and the right brand in market to give you the best foothold that you can. And then it's about building out your personal brand within the vertical markets that you operate within, because it's, you know, I know it's the same everywhere, but people buy from people, particularly in Australia. So getting that face time with people, getting out to pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. We run a lot of events, we run a lot of round tables, we run networking stuff. That's where you're able to build that relationship, build that rapport.
Yeah.
And then people are more likely to answer your calls and respond to your emails.
Yeah. It's, I think that's pretty in line with what I would tell people. So I've placed Australians in America. I've placed Australians in England. I can see the difference in the different cultures, and placed a guy in America and God, he did terrible for the first year. Because he was out there trying to meet everybody and, you know, do all of that. He survived enough, but the penny dropped that he actually just had to do all the qualitative stuff he was doing on Australia, but do more of it faster. And
yeah, okay.
Then he became their biggest biller. But because he had the qualitative relationship side that they teach over there, and I think that's really true to it. Sometimes when the UK recruiters come over with good training and all the rest, kind of have to warn them that don't push too hard, like invest in that relationship. And if somebody does reject you, it's not really a rejection. They're just trying to fob you off. And they'll have, as soon as you have a coffee with them, it's different. It's a different culture, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you know, it's the whole cliche about reining in a bull rather than breathing life into a corpse. I think, you know, the UK recruiters come in with lots of vim and vigor, and it's perhaps a little bit more ruthless in the UK, and here it's a smaller market. So, you know, Sydney's 4 million people. Everybody's sort of 2 degrees separated from each other, which makes it great, because once you've got established that it, you can really bed yourself in. But getting that cut through early, you've got to make sure that you do it in an appropriate way. So it's, yeah, and that's the fine balance between, as you said, the guy in the States, getting the quantity out into market, but just making sure it's quality as well. So, yeah, again, coming over there, you've just got to make sure you're with the right business so you can get as many footholds in the door as you possibly can, and then build the platform from there.
So I started recruiting in Australia 13 years ago, and then I've been doing Rector X. It's about 2015 there. Yeah. And over that, you can imagine the amount of processes that we've seen, and the amount of people who've come and survived or not survived. And one of the things that we always judge who we work with is really, like, did they get through that period and are they happy and have they stayed a bit longer and was that success? So one of the things I always kind of stress to people who want to go over is, do join a business that has has a client list, that has a database. Don't go set something up for somebody, because it takes longer to get something off the ground there than in other markets because of the relationship side. It's very tough to go in all gusto and I'm going to do this my way without, like, it does take about 18 months to get kind of your relationships, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I was just going to say. I think if you're coming over with a view that you'll just do 2 years and then go, then you're probably not going to get the full benefit of the work. So, first year, we've had people come in and shoot the lights out within the first 12 months and bill, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the majority of times it's, you're going to bill 200 or 300 in the first 12 months and then it's moving on from there.
Yeah.
Year two is where you're going to do well, make some money, and year three is where it's going to really start to add up. And those relationships and that consistency within your market really pays dividends.
You able to speak to some of the money that some of your recruiters take home, the top performers?
I think we've got a commission structure that pays 50% at the top end. So, we've got recruiters that bill north of $1 million. So, it can add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars for the consultants over here pretty quickly. I think at one point last year, our top 10 billers for the quarter had billed $300,000 each. So there's some really, really big numbers bandied around.
What are they doing with their money?
Investing in properties.
Yeah.
So there's really good opportunities with the right approach. And obviously we spend a lot of time on training the guys. We've got a resident coach that comes in 2 days a week and works with them and helps develop everybody from the rookies people coming into the market all the way through to the seniors and helping them with why are we doing recruitment? What are you going to do with it? It's almost like a life coaching type philosophy for them to keep them motivated, engaged, to make sure that we've got the right pathways in place. So, but yeah, it can be pretty fruitful.
What's your why, Martin?
That's a good question. Look,
let me tell you why I'm asking it, because
like
you've sold a business, you're still there, you're talking about a regional role. I tell you, I'd be sailed off to the sunset. What is your why?
I love recruitment. As sad as that sounds,
what do you love about it?
My wife, it's given me great opportunity. So it brought me to Australia. I met my wife. It's taken me around the world traveling. I've been able to set up this amazing business, and I've set up a couple of other businesses along the way. Or help set up a couple of businesses along the way. So it's given me huge amounts of opportunity. I like the business. I like the people I work with. I still get a buzz from going out and meeting the customers and the clients and picking up work and passing that on to the team. I guess maybe it's because I think I enjoy seeing the team coming through that journey as well. And I was just talked about putting themselves in positions where they're earning bonuses, which are life-changing, so that they can go out and buy properties, which isn't cheap in Australia. Where they can build really good careers. So I still really enjoy that. And I'm horribly competitive as a person. So I want Sustain to be the best it can be. I like having it at a position where it's got a great reputation, it's got a great brand, where we're attracting great people. So my why is to continue to help the team put themselves in positions where they can have choices.
Yeah,
I guess that's what recruitment did for me.
So it's to buy a speedboat and a jet ski and a
or a barber or a unit, or give them in 10, 15 years time the opportunity to do something else or invest in different things.
Yeah,
I mean that's what it's given to me. It's been it is a brilliant career.
What's the story with the visas at the moment? Have they softened up the requirements to get in again?
They have, yeah. It changes so rapidly.
It does, doesn't it?
There's more changes coming. So, but yeah, look, at the moment, my understanding is you can come for 4 years on a working holiday visa, do 6 to 12 months on that, and then cut across to sponsorship, and then you get 2 years on that. My understanding, certainly if you're coming from the UK, is that there's a lot of chat about routes to PR. So I don't know if they've been confirmed yet, but there's certainly with the free trade agreement with the UK that it's imminent or very close. So there'll be the opportunity to come and settle in Australia for a prolonged period of time.
That's good. They change it so often, you know.
It did. And I think through COVID, there was so much uncertainty in the borders opening, shutting it. There was a couple of years there where it wasn't that attractive a place to come to because of the uncertainty. But obviously, hopefully, that's all behind us. And the doors seem to be opening up. And as you know, we're seeing more and more people heading over to Australia at the moment, which is great.
Who's the type of person you like to hire in your business? What's that, if you were to describe a sustained type person?
Look, I think we look for people who are, you know, going to build relationships for the long term. You know, that's really, really important, that you're going to be here for the long term. You know, it's kind of written on the wall, you know, no dickheads, no passengers. We want, I think everybody says that these days, but we want to make sure that, look, we've got a great environment. We want people to come in and work hard. It's quite a high bar, as we've just been talking about, with the guys that come here. So we've been very lucky. We've had very few resign to join competitors. We've had a couple that have sort of opted out because also because the expectations are pretty high, so we want people who kind of come in and kind of take it seriously. That we don't take ourselves too seriously, and we certainly have a lot of fun along the way, but you know, we see that this is our career, right? This is the job. This is what we're going to do for the long term. So that's really important. I think, you know, we've got a great team, great culture. So we want people who are going to come in board and embrace all of that. We do work hard with guys from a training perspective. We still want them to have talent, but also be willing to learn. And maybe that mongrel that you need to keep going every day and keep coming back. And, you know, as you say, if you're not getting the cut through, if you're getting the rejections, or you're not getting through to the clients, that you've got a why there, that you've got a drive and determination that's going to help you to be successful. So I think that's what we really look for. It's not degrees necessarily. It's not always work experience. We've hired people from no recruitment experience through to different sectors and then retrained them into different verticals. So all of those things are great if you've got them, but I think what's the essence of a good recruiter? I think it's that honesty, that ability to show that they overcome some level of adversity or shown that they've got grit to complete something. You know, we hire a lot of people that have got team sports in the background. Again, you know, the four directors all used to play football together. It's not a prerequisite, but I think that way you know that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you just haven't put it in. Sometimes it's just not your day, so you come back and do it again and you work together. I think that's really important.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the business, your journey, and I look forward to working with you more in the future.
Right back at you. Thanks, mate.